right, get your Bibles, your iPhone, your iPad, whatever, and open it up to 2 Samuel chapter 16. 2 Samuel chapter 16. Hold your finger there and walk with me for a few moments. This message today is a narrative message. That means I'm going to walk you through a story. Somebody say a story. Now, it's important that you stick with the story, because if you go to sleep on one part of the story, you're going to miss the follow-up part of the story. This is not a story. This is not one of those stories that you can come in and out and still follow what's going on. You got to stick with me. So I promise I'll be finished when I get done. I want to talk about David for just a moment. David. I want to talk about King David. King David is a man that had a lot of drama in his life. Just like y'all got a lot of drama in y'all life. He had a lot of problems and issues. He did some good, but he also did a lot of bad. What amazes me about King David is that in the book of Acts, when there is commentary about David, the Bible, the Holy Spirit led the writer to say this about David. And in spite of all of his wrong in his life and the bad that he did, the Bible says this: he was a man after God's own heart. I think I got three claps on that thing right there. Maybe that's not you, but that's my prayer. With all of the raggediness in my life and all the mistakes I've made, when it's all said and done, I want to live a life that when God looks back and says something, I want him to say, John Cheekers was a man after God's own heart. I don't get it right all the time. I mess up. I miss the mark. But when it's all said and done, I want God to be able to say that I was in pursuit of him. And that's what the scripture says about David. David's had a heart. His heart was after God's heart. He was a man who actually just made a lot of mistakes, but made a lot of good choices. But something happened in David's life that I want to talk about today. He has come up through the ranks. He was a shepherd boy who took care of his father's sheep. From there, he ends up having a prophet prophesy over him that he would be the king of Israel. From there, he finds himself going out to the battlefield, killing Goliath. Y'all know the story. From there, and through a series of events, David becomes king. He becomes the king of Israel. I've learned in life that what makes a person powerful, there are two types of powers in the world. There's the power of position, say position. And there's the power of influence, say influence. Those are the two powers. So the person that's in position has power. But really, the more influential person is the person who influences the person that's in the position of power. It's not the president that calls the shots. It's the people around him that's able to influence him on what shot, what calls to make. David is surrounded by people who are influencers to him. He's unlike any other leader. He's a leader that has people who influences him. What I want to talk about today is the fact that David had a person who influenced him, a person who the Bible tells us a little bit about, and we can derive, we don't have a whole lot about him, but we can derive a lot of insight about him by the few things that the Bible tells us about him. And that's why I want you to go to 2 Samuel chapter 16. Are y'all with me? Now just walk with me, y'all. I promise I'll be finished when I'm done. 2 Samuel 16, and I want to read verse 23. Somebody say verse 23. It says this: now the advice of Ahithophel, which he gave in those days, was as if one had inquired at the oracle of God. So was all the advice of Ahithophel, both with David and with Absalom. Here is one, there's just a couple of verses that talk about Ahithophel, just a few, but here's one of the powerful things. It says, when you talk to him, it is just as if you were talking to God. I don't know about y'all, anybody here want to be in a situation where people talk to you, they feel like they're talking to God? Let me thank the 17 people for that rousing desire for that. Now, y'all might as well be honest. What has got a lot of y'all in the mess that you've gotten your life in is that you listen to some folk who didn't give you what God would have said. How many of y'all have listened to some folk who told you to do some things that was not the right thing to do? And you did it. Well, Ahithophel was a counselor, an advisor to King David. Follow me just for a few minutes. I promise y'all I'm not going to keep you long. When he spoke to both David and when he spoke to Absalom, his son, the Bible says it was just as if he was an oracle of God. That's chapter 16, verse 23. When you go one chapter later, exactly one chapter later, chapter 17, verse 23, here's what it says. Somebody say chapter 17, verse 23. Listen to this verse. Now, when Ahithophel saw that his advice was not followed, he saddled his donkey and arose and went home to his house, to his city. Then he put his household in order and hanged himself and died. Well, the man went from being a spokesman for God, when you talk to him, it is if you're talking to God, to one chapter later, he commits suicide. One chapter later, something has happened to Ahithophel that has caused him to make a horrifying choice. Now, the reality of the fact is something has occurred with Ahithophel, and my job today is to try to open it up and explain it to y'all. If y'all would just hang with me for just a few minutes, I want to explain to you what happened to him that brought him to a place where he felt the need to end his life. The reality of the fact is there's a whole lot of descendants of Ahithophel with us today. There are people who maybe they're perhaps not hanging themselves or shooting themselves, but they are slowly committing suicide by the horrible choices they're making every day. What is it, amen, go ahead, say amen right there. What is it that Ahithophel did that moved him from being a spokesman from God in one moment to a person who hangs himself to next? I'm going to tell you what happened. Something happened to him. Something caused him to become angry and bitter. What caused Ahithophel to not want to live any longer, what caused him to want to end his life, was bitterness. And that's why I want to talk to y'all for a few minutes about the keys to overcoming bitterness. Look at your neighbor and say, you need these keys to overcome bitterness. Look on the other side. Tap the person behind you. Look at that joker in front of you and say, you need these keys. Because my brothers and sisters, if you don't overcome bitterness, if you don't get control of your anger and your upsetness and your being mad and unforgiving, I'm telling you, it'll take you out. It'll destroy you. It'll make you sick. Matter of fact, you can't even have a meaningful relationship with God while you're walking around harboring bitterness in your heart against somebody else. I thought I'd get some amens from the 12 o'clock crowd. They sat on me at 8 and 10, but I thought y'all might understand about being bitter. What caused him to get bitter? How did he get bitter? What caused him to get so bitter that he ended his life? Walk with me through the story. Can I tell y'all what happened? And along the way, can I give you some truths and some principles as we talk? Well, here's the story. Can I tell you the story? David has risen up to become the king. He's the head honcho, the H-N-I-C. He is the chief man in charge. In this case, he's the H-J-I-C, the head Jew in charge. He is in charge of everything. He has risen up. And one day, David is strolling on the roof of his palace. And while he's strolling on the roof of the palace, he looks across the streets at the townhouse complexes. And on the roof of the townhouse is a young woman named Bathsheba taking a bath. And something arose in David. If y'all knew the Bible, I wouldn't have explained all this to y'all. And he beckons for Bathsheba to come to his chambers. Can y'all just hang with me? He calls Bathsheba over to his chamber. He sleeps with her and sends her back to his house, her house. He sleeps with her, sends her back. There's a big problem now. She sends her word back. Matter of fact, if you read the story in the scriptures, one verse says he calls her over, sleeps with her, sends her back. The next verse says she sends him word that she's pregnant. The problem is Bathsheba is married. Y'all go ahead and say amen, because I know y'all know something about that. She's married to a soldier who's off at war named Uriah. When David gets the word that she's pregnant, he doesn't know what to do, so he comes up with a plot and a scheme. And his plot and the scheme is this. He's going to cover his tracks by beckoning Uriah to come from battle, come from war, come home. His thinking is that Uriah will come home from war, go to his house, sleep with his wife, and then go back to war. And when she says she's pregnant, he will think that the child is his. Look at your neighbor. See, people can be slick. Somebody can be slick. Y'all don't need to watch these soap operas on TV. Or just read the Bible. It's all right here in the Bible. You don't leave scandal alone. Leave all that alone. Just read the Bible. It's in the Bible. So Uriah comes home from the battle. He gets beckoned to come home. He comes home from the battle. And when he gets home, instead of going into the house, he says to himself, how can I go into my home and enjoy the pleasures of my wife while my brothers are out there in the field putting their lives on the line battling? Look at your neighbor and say, Uriah must not have been a black man. Go ahead, turn to your neighbor and say that. Go ahead, tell him he must not have been a black man. Come on, can I get an amen right there from anybody? As a matter of fact, when Uriah doesn't go into the house and sleep with his wife, when the king hears about it, he comes up with a plot and some schemes. He tries to do everything he can. He invites Uriah to a party, gets him drunk, thinking in his drunken stupor he will somehow make it back to his house and think that he has slept with his wife. No matter what happens, no matter how drunk he gets, he never sleeps with his wife. So David has a problem now. He has done a wrong. He has slept with this man's wife. Now the problem with what David has done, I'm telling you, what's the problem is, here's the man, he already had a multiplicity of wives, not like he needed another one. The problem with sin is, it's never satisfying. It never gets satisfied. So he's not satisfied. He has to have Bathsheba. And now that Uriah has refused, even through getting him drunk and all the stuff that the king has done to try to make this happen, he never gets Uriah to a place of sleeping with his wife. And so finally, the king writes out a decree, a letter, seals it up, gives it to Uriah to take back to the battlefield. Uriah takes the sealed letter, sealed envelope, takes it back to the commander, gives it to the commander, and here's what it says. David wrote with his own hand and gave it, sent it to the commander, and here's what the letter said. The note said, put Uriah in the heat of the hottest battle in the front line and pull back his support troops, and when he's dead, let me know. That amazes me. A man that the scripture says is after God's own heart has some nasty stuff in him. And y'all might as well say amen. Because as much as you want God, you got some nasty things in you. So Uriah is carrying his own death warrant. He gives it to his commander. The commander follows the orders. He puts Uriah in the heat, in the hottest part of battle. Withdraws the support troops. Uriah is killed, and word gets back to David that Uriah is dead. He takes Bathsheba as his wife. The problem is something that a lot of you don't realize. David didn't realize it, that when you do stuff, there's always somebody watching. And I'm not just talking about God. Y'all need to understand, when you sneak in that back door and run and do your deal and come back out and do what you're going to do and switch out the lights and get your hit and do your thing and get your drugs and do your thing and go to this house and do your thing, somebody sees you that you don't see. And such is the case with David. David thought he could get away with it. How could the king? He is surrounded by soldiers. He is surrounded by protection. He's surrounded by counselors. Why did he think that he could get away with sleeping with Bathsheba, getting her husband killed? How did he think he could get away with it? He couldn't. And the word about what has happened has risen to the ears and been observed and known by his counselor, Ahithophel. And Ahithophel sees and knows and learns about what David has done, and he becomes angry. He becomes not only angry, he becomes bitter. And the problem is that Ahithophel got so bitter that he stopped being David's counselor. As a matter of fact, here's what the scripture says. He joined with David's son Absalom and counseled David's son Absalom, who's in the process of trying to overthrow David. Did I lose y'all yet? Let me try a little hard. I got to shake it till y'all have to. I want to make sure you get this. I'm almost finished. I was hoping somebody was going to say, take your time, but y'all didn't say that. Ahithophel gets bitter and he's mad. He's mad at David. This is what caused this man to lose his walk with God. This is what brought him to a place of committing suicide, because bitterness took over his heart. Why was Ahithophel so bitter? He was bitter because Bathsheba, the woman to whom David married, the woman to whom David committed adultery Bathsheba was Ahithophel's granddaughter. And Ahithophel could not get it through his head to hear the man he was serving, the king of the land, had not only committed adultery with his granddaughter, and she was married to another man, he also had the man killed, her husband killed. And so he could no longer join to him. He became bitter. Some of you have had some people do some horrific things to you. And what you have not failed to understand, what you need to understand, is I don't care how ugly, how nasty, how mean somebody does something to you, it's not worth you losing your life over based on what they have done. Some of you have gotten bitter because somebody said something about you, got you fired off your job, abused you, or done something to you, and you've harbored it and you've carried it around in your heart. You haven't forgiven them. Matter of fact, you see their name, you don't want to see their name. If they're in the room, you leave the room. You know they're coming to the party, you ain't going. You don't answer their phone calls, you don't return their emails. You're bitter. You're angry, you're mad, you can't get over it. It's skewing. The movie is playing over in your mind over and over and over again what they've done. You keep seeing the movie playing around in your mind over and over. Matter of fact, the movie is played so many times in your mind, you now got credits. Directed by, executive producer. Preach on, Pastor. Y'all ain't got this thing. Lean over to your neighbor and say, he preaching better than you are saying amen. My job for this moment or two is to challenge you and tell you what and how you can overcome bitterness. Here's point one. I only have 4 points. Let me hit you bam, 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 bam real fast and I'll be done. Number one, realize that what they did is not worth damaging your relationship with God. Doing better. I think I got 20 hand praise claps right there. But here's the bottom line. When you allow somebody to embitter you, it impacts your relationship with God. You cannot fail to forgive somebody for what they've done and harbor it in your mind and it not have consequences in your own personal relationship with God. Now here's the thing. I know I'm saved. Not because I spoke in tongues, not because I danced a holy dance, not because I paid my tithes, not because I'm the pastor of this church. I know I'm saved. And the reason I know I'm saved is because God in me, the Christ in me, has given me the capacity to forgive others who I know don't like me. Because in my flesh, in my natural abilities, in my own strengths and abilities, I couldn't forgive them for what they've done. I try to hurt them just as much as they tried to hurt me. But I know I'm saved. I know I got the Holy Ghost inside of me. Because even though they try to hurt me, kill me, damage my reputation, I still love them. I still pray for them. I still do whatever I can to help them. Greater is he that's in me than he that is in the world. I know he lives in me. And my assignment is to tell you is that whatever they've done to you is not worth you losing your relationship with God. Now, Ahithophel couldn't figure out how to forgive David for what he's done. He couldn't figure out how to get past it. He couldn't figure out how to let it go. He couldn't figure out. He operated in his flesh. He did something he repented for. He repented. He apologized to God. He wrote a whole psalm about it. He couldn't get past that. Ahithophel wouldn't let it go. And he kept harboring in his heart, just like some of you are harboring in your heart the stuff that people have done to you, and it's impacting your ability to move forward in your life with God. Let it go. Secondly, did y'all get the first point? The second point that you need to know to overcome bitterness is to realize that you yourself is not the judge. You got to realize that God is the ultimate judge. Let me tell you something. Let me explain something to y'all. Let me explain a very important principle. When somebody hurts you, some of you get so mad and so angry, you act as if you're God. And they violated some command against you. But I hate to tell you this, you don't have a heaven nor hell to put anybody in. I think I got 30 claps on that point right there. I'm getting better as I go along here. It's important for you to realize that when people violate a command, it's not your command they violated, it's God's command. Amen. Here's what Romans 12:19, jot this verse down, Romans 12:19. I'm going to read it to you in a moment here. Here's what Romans 12:19 says this. Matter of fact, y'all got to get this down because this is a very important verse for you to understand and for you to comprehend. Here's what God says in Romans 12:19. He says this, beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. God says, I'll do it. They wronged you. I saw it. I'm going to get them back. Now, this is an important point because here's what I feel God does. Some of y'all are trying to pay people back for what they've done to you. You're trying to hurt them back. You won't talk to them. You won't write them back. You won't communicate. You talk nasty about them. You say wicked things about them. And here's what God says. Oh, I see you going to give them vengeance. So if you going to do it, I'll take my hands off. And I'm here to tell you, it's best for you to let God do the vengeance rather than you do the vengeance. Because when God fixes it, when God pays them back, they will be paid back right. Somewhere down along the line, you got to get to a place to take your hands off and say, I'm not going to talk bad about you. I'm not going to try to hurt you. I'm not going to ruin your reputation. I'm not going to try to get you fired. You did all of that to me, but I'm not going to treat you the way that you have treated me. I'm going to love you, forgive you, speak well of you, pray for you. I'm not going to do you like you did me. Preach on that. The Lord says, vengeance is mine. He is the ultimate judge. Here's number three. I'm almost finished. Not only is God the ultimate judge, but here's a point three that I know some of y'all forget here at the 12 o'clock service. And I have to remind the 12 o'clock service. Matter of fact, it's not the 12 o'clock service. This is really a point I made for the 8 o'clock crowd. But the 12 o'clock crowd probably would be beneficial from this point too. Realize that you are not sinless. Shh. That shot over some of y'all's head. That's why I got to break it down for you. Why you so quick to find the wrong that everybody else has done, let's remind you that there are some people that you have wronged. There are some people that you have hurt. There are some things you've done that have damaged other people. And just like you want somebody to forgive you, you got to learn how to forgive somebody. Amen. Do y'all get that? Look at the neighbor next to you and say, you know you done done some wrong stuff. Because you nasty. Go ahead. Because you nasty. Nobody in here is perfect. Nobody in here has dotted every I. Nobody in here has crossed every T. Nobody else in here. Nobody in here has done everything that they are supposed to do. We have not always been where we are. We have not always done the things we're supposed to do. And just like you need God to forgive you and you need other people to forgive you, you need to forgive somebody for what they've done to you. As a matter of fact, the Bible says, if you don't forgive others for what they've done for you, to you, God cannot forgive you for what you've done to somebody else. You need forgiveness, so you need to forgive. Somebody high-five your neighbor and say, he's teaching and preaching now. I got one last point. Did y'all get that third point? Did y'all get those first three? What was the first one that I told you? What was it? It's not worth damaging your relationship. What was number two? God is the ultimate judge. Number three? You ain't sinless. You walking around Karen Harbor like you ain't never done nobody wrong. I feel a cussing spirit coming on me right now. Is this go ahead and cuss or don't cuss? Don't do it. Because people get on my nerves acting like they ain't never done nothing. I get angry, I get mad when you walk around with your nose in the air like you ain't never done nothing wrong, like you've been saved all your life, like you are Miss Perfect, Mr. Perfect. You, God help me. Let me calm down. Let me calm down. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. Number four. I better hurry up and get out of here. Realize. Instead of being bitter, realize. Listen to this. Somebody going to shout on this. That the pain someone caused you actually helped to promote you. Anybody here know the ability to say, if you had not done to me what you did to me, I would not be where I am today. What you did pushed me forward. What you did helped me get to where God wanted me to be. If you had not done it. Woo. Y'all better learn. Some of y'all need to go back to some people and say, remember when you hurt me? Remember when you lied on me? Remember when you got me fired? Thank you. You remember when you quit me, put me to the side, didn't want me no more, where I got the wife of my dreams? Thank you. I got the job of my destiny. Thank you. I'm at the church I'm supposed to be based on how you treated me at the last church. Thank you. Hey, somebody give God a shout. Say thank you. I almost lost my mind, but the way you treated me, I let it go. And when I let it go, God swept me into my destiny. God moved me into where I was supposed to be. Thank you. Hey, thank you. Hey, thank you. Hey, hey. Thank you for not choosing me. Thank you for disliking me. I love Joseph because Joseph was hated by his brothers, sold into slavery, lied on by Potiphar's wife, forgotten about by his jailmates. But all of that helped get him to where God wanted him to be. And that's what I'm trying to help you see. All the pain and agony and stuff that's happened and all the wrong, God used them to be agents to get you to where you are today. Somebody help me give God some praise and some thanks. Now I'm done. I'm finished. But who was I preaching to today? Come here. Hold up. Wait. Wait. You've been bitter and you're ready to let it go. That's who I'm talking to. Come on, right here. You've been holding a grudge. Come on. You got bad feelings every time you think about them. Come on. That's who I'm talking to. When their name pop up, you can't stand them. Come here. That's who I need. That's who I want to talk to. Oh my God, look like the whole church is coming down here. Come on close, come in tight, come in close, come in tight. Whole bunch of people coming down here. They've been holding you back. Your bitterness been holding you from getting to where God wants you. Hadn't been no rain in your life because you keep harboring and keep holding on. Let it go. It's time to let it go. And when you let it go, there's going to be some rain and falling. There's going to be a drenching coming in your life. This is the thing that has kept God from having the capacity to pour you out. Rain is what you've been carrying. They are not worth it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's over now. It's over now, baby. It's coming up. It's going to be released up off you. It's over now. You're not held bondage to. The devil can't hold you captive. He can't contain you no more. It's coming off today. This is the day that God is letting it be loosed and be free today. It's over today. You are letting it go today. It's not going to get between you and God no more. Father, in Jesus' name, this altar is swallowed up by people who acknowledge their bitterness, their inability to forgive. They're acknowledging that they, God, have harbored something in their heart and they don't want to be like Ahithophel. They don't want to be hindered. They want to move on. They want to be your instruments. They want to be forgiven. They want to see your hand pour mightily in their life. They want to be your mouthpiece. Father, I thank you that they've heard and they've listened and they've yielded. And I pray right now in Jesus' name that you release them right now from carrying. Right now, lift it up. Right now, bind that spirit in the name of Jesus. Bind unforgiveness. Rebuke it, Lord. Loose them from it. Release them from that bitterness, God. Give them forgiveness. Smear them with the spirit and the heart of forgiveness, God. Help them see beyond the person and see that you are bringing good out of what happened to them. In the name of Jesus. Now pray this prayer with me. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess my sin to you. I'm guilty. I haven't forgiven. I've been bitter, but today I release it. I forgive the person. I hold them harmless. And I believe now that all things work together for my good. And I thank you that I'm better because of what happened to me. That you've had my back. No weapon formed against me can prosper. I am your child. Greater is he that's in me than he that is in the world. And right now I release that person in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Now go ahead and give God some praise. It's over now. It's over now. Praise him. It's over now. It's lifted now. It's over now.
Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, the Lily of the Valley, the Morning Star, who has wiped away all of our sins, and He has wiped away yours. Hallelujah. Go ahead and hug somebody. You're free for the first time in a long time in your life.